I want you to compare in your mind New Year's Eve to the second Wednesday in February. On New Year's Eve, maybe you've got some plans. Go out, watch the fireworks, have a nice dinner, enjoy some time out on the boat on the public holiday. People will ask you, what are your plans for New Year's Eve? And even if you're not doing anything, the expectation is still high that something will happen on New Year's Eve. The second Wednesday in February, though, well, that's just the day I picked randomly. You haven't thought about it until just that moment. And no one is going to ask you about it. It's going to probably be an ordinary day. The expectations will be normal. You'll wake up, you'll go to work, you'll go to school, you'll look at Facebook, play squash. Enjoy the chaos of a normal weekly Wednesday. Well, today we're looking at Christian growth and how God encourages and brings about growth in us so that we can reach the goal of being fully mature in Christ. And what we'll see is that while some Christian growth might just happen spectacularly, a bit like New Year's Eve, most Christian growth happens through the ordinary, everyday, the second Wednesday in February type of growth. So the passage we're looking at today is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So it'd be good to have your Bibles open there. And the first thing we need to do to keep growing to maturity in Christ is we need to keep walking in Jesus. Every day, keep walking with Jesus and in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. And when we place our faith in Jesus, we receive Christ Jesus as Lord. And we become in him. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But our sins are forgiven. We have a new life that starts with Jesus. And because we've received Jesus as Lord, and Jesus being Lord means that he's king, he's ruler, he has authority over all, we now live with Jesus as Lord. Being a Christian is not just a lifestyle choice. It's not having a particular belief system. It's living our lives with Jesus as our King. It's submitting to him, honoring him, knowing and living out the reality that Jesus is Lord of all, who will judge the living and the dead. And so as we receive him, we're exhorted to live our lives in him. A more literal translation is to walk in him. Now, throughout this chapter and throughout this book, we have this language of in him or in Christ. And it's God's way of describing a spiritual reality of those who have received Jesus. It's a bit like joining an elite sports team. You enter their orb and you get all the benefits of being on that team once you become a member of that team. You adopt their uniform, their culture, their chant. In the case of my daughter's netball team, 6-7-4-3, Stormers are the go-to team. Go, team! There you go, for all you netball fans out there. You take on their values. It influences your life as you prioritize training schedules, travel schedules, social events. And more than that, you are connected to a bunch of people when you join that team. The team, the coach, the fans. You're in the team and it changes how you live. But being in Christ is actually a little bit more than that. Here's another image of being in Christ. It's like diving, where you're connected to an oxygen tank. And the tank gives you your life. You can't dive without it. Everything you do underwater, you can only do because you've got a life-giving tank of oxygen connected to you. You're viewing a fish, you're spearfishing, you're diving for sunken treasure. You can only do because you're connected to that oxygen. And so what I want us to do is I want us to mix those two images that we have. That entering a team and being connected to a life-giving apparatus. And when we do that, we start to get a picture of what it means to be in Christ. Because when we place our faith in Jesus, we are connected to him. He gives us life. Without Jesus, we have no life. But more than being just connected to him, we also enter his orb, his team. And we get all the benefits of being on that team, all those things that are in him. And it changes the way we think, it changes our values, it changes our priorities. And the encouragement that Paul gives to the Colossian church is this: continue to live your lives in him. Stay in the Jesus orb. Continue. Don't stop. Keep going. Press on. Persist. Continue walking for Jesus in him. It's like on a hike. You just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Well, that's what we need to do as we live for Jesus. Just one foot in front of the other as we live for him. And that is full of very non-glorious decisions. It's full of second Wednesday in February decisions, normal decisions. It's the decision to read your Bible when you wake up in the morning. It's the decision to spend some time in prayer. It's the decision to exercise your faith and be godly in a situation. It's the choice to be generous with your time and money. It's the everyday decisions that we make over time that are going to make us mature in Christ. It's like when you go on a hike, you might need some encouragement. I know that when I go on a hike, I need some encouragement. And God gives us encouragement. He gives us the church to encourage us. He gives us his word to encourage us. He gives us the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to encourage us. But most of the time, those little everyday decisions that we make, we just have to make them. And the only person who knows that we've made them is yourself and Jesus. Most people won't see it. But what they will see over time, if you keep making ordinary decisions to follow Jesus, is from point A over here to point B over there, there'd be lots of steps, but the outcome will be someone who is more mature in Christ. We want instant growth, but the way that God works is often just through the ordinary, through the normal, through the second Wednesday in February. So how do we continue and make these everyday decisions to live in Jesus? Well, we need to be, and there's a bunch of metaphors here, but we need to be walking grounded trees with TNT. That's a mouthful. Walking grounded trees with TNT, but hopefully it'll make sense in a second. So we are to continue to live our lives in him. And so then verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Christians are to walk, but Christians are also to have strong roots. And we see that term in verse 7 again, in him, in Jesus. We are not, as Christians, to be like mahogany trees, which grow large but do not have strong roots or strong branches. The wind comes up, the storm rises, and the mahogany tree comes down, and hopefully not on your house. Christians instead are to be like jarrah trees. These trees have a deep root system, sometimes reaching down 15 to 20 metres below the ground. Strong and steady. We are to have strong roots in Jesus, a strong connection to him, because he is our Lord. We've received him as Lord. We are connected to him. And the longer we live with Jesus as our Lord, the more extensive our root system will be. And that will enable us to grow, to be built up, to reach that goal of maturity in Christ. And like trees, that growth is incremental often. Now, sometimes there might be an event or something happen where you just grow lots and lots in a very short period of time. Like a tree maybe during the wet season, a weed during the wet season. They just. But other times it's more likely that it'll be the slow growth during the dry. Just the slow incremental growth. And this growth is actually something that Jesus does in us. It's not something that we kind of have to will ourselves to do, like, I'm going to grow as a Christian today. It's a great desire. But actually, it's something that Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, works in us, growing our root system in him, growing us so that we would be strong trees as we make everyday decisions to live for Jesus. And so how does this growth happen? Well, we need TNT, truth and thankfulness. We see it there written there in verse 7. We are to be strengthened in the faith as we are taught. We need to be strengthened with the truth. It's like when you plant a tomato plant. It needs a stake for support, for strengthening. We need to be taught the faith and strengthened in it. the true faith. That's one of the reasons we say the Apostles' Creed. And even as I'm saying this, I realize that I actually skipped over this part of the service this morning. But we say the Apostles' Creed together because that is the faith that we believe. That is the faith that has been passed down to us, the true faith. We're not strengthened by lies. We're not strengthened by false teaching, which takes our focus off Jesus. And that's what we see in verse 8, where the warning is, do not be taken prisoner by hollow lies or deceptive philosophies or traditions that don't honor Christ. Don't be taken captive by a naturalism that says God cannot work in our world, that God is restricted and can't work miracles. Don't be taken captive by a teaching that diminishes the cross by saying that Jesus was just an example and that he didn't die for the sins of the world. No, the faith that we have been taught, the teaching that strengthens us, is that which is passed on by the apostles, by Paul, recorded for us in the scriptures. And it's a faith that is centered on Jesus, who in chapter 1 of Colossians is described as God in the flesh, the creator and the one for whom all things were created for. Jesus, who died to redeem his people, to forgive our sin, to bring us from being alienated from God to being in relationship with God. Jesus, who has risen from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, who rose first so that we can follow after him and have eternal life. Jesus, who is now the rightful ruler and Lord of all the powers and authorities. Jesus, who is the head of his church, this church. The faith centered on Jesus, that is what strengthens us. That is what grows us to maturity in Christ. And so we need to ensure that those we receive teaching from are teaching the truth as it is revealed in scriptures. Our Christian growth depends on it. One of the things stopping us from growing as Christians is actually in our age, in our culture, people don't think that truth matters very much. But a blasé attitude to truth, what it ultimately does is it waters down the gospel and takes away from the glory of Christ and stops us from growing. Truth matters. The gospel we preach matters. So don't be led astray. Don't be held captive by something that parades around as truth but is not. That's what the devil wants. And one of the temptations I think I see in our churches is the temptation to forego truth for the sake of unity. To say that the truth about what we believe doesn't matter, but only that we're seen to be united. Now, unity is important. We are Christ's church. We are knit together in him. We are forever joined together. We are connected. But the unity of the church is based on gospel truth, the faith passed down to us. It's the unity in Christ that matters. Unity for unity's sake is not the unity that God envisioned for the church, but unity around the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus is. A clear example here, I think, is Jehovah's Witness. They distort the message of Jesus Christ. They say that the fullness of God does not dwell in him. And so they diminish Christ and his glory. And that has the implication of actually saying that Jesus doesn't have the power to save us because he's not fully God. We are not in unity with Jehovah's Witness because they're not teaching the truth about Jesus. They're distorting the truth. Their teaching, if we adopted it, would not strengthen us, but it would weaken us and take us away from Christ and his glory. But this truth that we need doesn't just come from teachers. It actually comes from the words that we speak to each other as well. We need to remind each other of what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, speaking on this same theme of growth and continuing in the faith, says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The truth is not just to stay in our heads, but it's also to be on our lips as we speak to each other. It's how we're strengthened. So when we sin, we can talk to each other about the forgiveness that is found in Jesus. When we are anxious and worried about the future, we can talk about how Jesus is Lord of all. When we're in a situation where there is hostility and evil, we can talk about how Jesus is defeated on the cross and he's going to return and make everything right. We can talk about how God answers prayer. We can talk about the everyday normal decisions that we make to follow Christ. We can talk about what God has been teaching us. Do you want to strengthen the church? Do you want to see a mature church? We'll talk to each other about the faith that strengthens us. And it's not just my job. It's not just the service leader's job. It's not just the locum's job. It's everyone's job. So speak. Our culture has put religion into that category of you probably shouldn't talk about it. Keep it to yourself. However, amongst believers, we can't afford to keep silent. The strength of Jesus' church is at stake. So we need TNT. We need explosive truth. But we also need thankfulness. Verse 7, we are to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. As Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. We had this week our parish council end of year dinner, and one of the traditions at that dinner is to just go around the circle and say, what is one thing that you're thankful for? And then spend some time thanking God for that. It's great hearing what people are thankful for. And I know that I am thankful for so many things that God has done in Kununurra. I'm thankful for the wardens and parish council. And thank you that in our time here, we've seen people become Christian. We've seen others grow in their faith. I'm thankful for the kids ministry and the youth ministry and the team of leaders who run them. I'm so many things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for you. But even if God had not given us any of that, even if our time in Kununurra was filled with woe and where we're leaving instead of having a nice farewell, you know, shaking the dust off our sandals saying, be gone, I'm very thankful we're not leaving like that. But even if we were, we would actually still have lots to be thankful for. We could still be overflowing with thankfulness because Jesus died to save us. To connect us to him. We are in him. We're indebted to him. We are loved by him. We are created by him. Now, notice here how it says overflowing with thankfulness. As Christians, we shouldn't need to be scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to thankfulness. If I just scrape a little bit harder, maybe I'll find something to be thankful for. A lot of the time, I think maybe we can be a bit like that when it comes to thankfulness. We're good at asking for things. We're not very good at thanking God for things. So how can we become thankful Christians, overflowing with thankfulness? Well, we just need to take time and reflect on all that God has done for us. Reflect on the faith that we have been taught. Turn that into thanks. Use chapter 2 of Colossians, which we had read out. Thank you, God, that in Christ your fullness dwells. From verse 9. Thank you that in Christ we have been brought to fullness in verse 10. Thank you, God, that I'm no longer ruled by my sin, verse 11. Thank you that I've been joined to Christ in his death and resurrection through faith, verse 12. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I used to be dead to you, that though I used to be dead to you in Christ, I'm now alive to you, verse 13. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross to pay my debt of sin. Verse 14. Thank you, God, that Jesus defeated all of your enemies on the cross and now rules and reigns. Verse 15. And that's just one chapter of the Bible. There's so many more. And you might have noticed the theme there. All of that is in Christ. We have all of that when we are in the orb of Christ, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. All those things are ours. All those things we can thank God for. So ask God to give you a heart of thankfulness and start saying thank you. Be intentional. Plan to give thanks. Now, planning to give thanks might seem inauthentic, it might seem contrived, but that actually is not what planning is about. We plan for that which is important to us. We plan for fishing trips, we plan holidays, we plan in our day when we will brush our teeth. Likewise, we can plan when we will give thanks. And the more that we do it, the more we will overflow with thankfulness. It's something that I know that I need to do more of. Over these last few weeks, I've been trying to start a thankfulness journal, just jotting down three things a day that I'm thankful for. One example is I know that I needed to write this sermon this week, and I've had lots on my mind. So I went to where I know I work well. I went to my second office at Kimberley Cafe. But on this particular Thursday morning, everyone else had the same idea. I was like, I'm going to give it a go anyway. And I prayed, God, please provide a table for me. And he did. And he provided me my favorite one. Now, I could have just accepted that and not thought any more about it and just enjoyed sitting at my favorite table. But actually, I needed to stop and give thanks for that. And just having a journal just makes me stop and think, ah, yes, I am thankful that God answered that prayer, even how small it was. So I encourage you to maybe just start a thankfulness journal on paper or online. I'm an online person, so mine is online. Another thing you can do is actually just start asking the question, what are you thankful for? On the car, in the car, at dinner, at breakfast, what are you thankful for? And be sure when you're giving thanks to give thanks for Jesus. There is no shortage of things to thank God for. We don't need to be bottom of the barrel scrapers when we come to thankfulness to God. And then the more we do it, like brushing our teeth, which becomes automatic, we will learn to give thanks to God in every situation, under every circumstance. We will genuinely appreciate and thank God more and more for the salvation that he has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to grow in Jesus, we need TNT. We need truth in the faith that is taught to us. And we need overflowing thankfulness. And if we have those things, we will be growing strong trees, well-rooted, well-grounded in Jesus, all the while walking in him. Now, I've used the illustration of TNT, which would be pretty awesome to watch explode. But actually, it's a little bit of a misnomer because in practice, these things look pretty normal, pretty every day. It's that decision to come to church on a Sunday, the commitment to attending a growth group through the week, meeting with someone and praying with them. It's having that intentional conversation, asking, what have you learned about God this week? It's the family devotion over dinner. It's the committing to learning from God's word, reading it each day. The Holy Spirit uses all these things to strengthen our faith as we are taught, to grow us to maturity in Christ. The Christian life is a bit like a Wednesday in February rather than a New Year's Eve. Walking in him, one step after the other. So hear Paul's exhortation. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And let's keep doing that until Jesus returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we place our faith in Jesus, you connect us to him, that we are in him, connected to him, that he changes everything about our life as we seek to live with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we know that your goal is to make us like him, to grow us to maturity in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that you will continue that work that you have begun in us and that you will bring it to completion on the day that Christ returns. So help us in the ordinary decisions of every day to keep walking in him.